This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Right-wing economists often decry U.S. corporate tax rates as being among the highest in the world. That's the basis, in fact, for much of the Republican-led effort to rewrite the U.S. tax code. But although the theoretical tax rate, or what is called the statutory tax rate, is 35%, the actual rates that corporations pay vary between 12 and 19%. A new report by the Economic Policy Institute suggests that rather than reducing the statutory tax rate for corporations, the U.S. needs to close the myriad loopholes that enable corporate tax dodgers. Joining me to discuss that is Hunter Blair. He's a budget analyst with the Economic Policy Institute. Welcome to the program, Hunter.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So how deep is this myth that corporations in the U.S. pay the highest taxes in the world? Is it based on the difference between the statutory tax rate and the actual tax rate, and this deception sort of assumes that the statutory tax rate is what they actually pay?
Yeah, absolutely. So you hear this kind of talk a lot on the right, in particular, and they very often say the United States has the highest corporate tax rates or one of the highest corporate tax rates, and they point to the 35% statutory rate that, you know, is in fact fairly high compared to other OECD economies. But, you know, it turns out that when you look at what corporations actually pay, they're paying somewhere between, you know, 13 and 19% because of, in particular, the deferral loophole, which allows them to defer the taxes on their offshore profits.
So the Congressional Budget Office earlier this year produced a report that many in the media interpreted as proof that American corporations pay far too much in taxes. What did that report actually say?
Yeah, so when you dig into the data of that report, they have a table where they show the average effective tax rate by country. But when you actually dig into what they're showing in that table, it turns out they're showing the average rate paid by, say, a subsidiary company of a U.S. multinational in, for instance, the U.K. So they're showing that the U.S. rate looks high compared to a foreign subsidiary of a U.S. multinational corporation. But that's just in line with what we know about how corporations are dodging their profits, dodging the taxes they owe on their profits using the deferral loophole.
So what we need is a comparison between what U.S. corporations are required to pay in the U.S. versus what U.K. corporations are required to pay in the U.K., et cetera?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be the appropriate comparison, but that's not the comparison that we're actually getting in the CBO study.
So it's basically saying, look how much more U.S. corporations have to pay in the U.S. versus how much more U.S. corporations have to pay in other countries, which is obviously the reason why so many U.S. corporations end up with these offshore holdings and, you know, store billions and really trillions of dollars offshore that they don't have to pay very high taxes on.
Yeah, that's right. They defer the taxes that they're supposed to pay on their offshore subsidiaries. And so they take their U.S. profits and they book them overseas in offshore, you know, say in the Cayman Islands or through a U.K. company, a U.K. subsidiary. And so they claim that these profits weren't actually made in the U.S. They were made offshore. And so they defer taxes indefinitely, hoping for some sort of redo of the 2004 Bush-era repatriation tax holiday.
So what is the reality then? You mentioned that the tax rates that they actually pay varies between 12 and 19%. Does that variability depend on how, you know, which loopholes the corporation in question can take advantage of?
Yeah, so certainly there's variation between the different multinational corporations. But I think what we see is that the large multinational corporations, they have it within their capabilities to hire the lawyers they need to make sure that they're paying, you know, sort of the lowest rate that they can get by booking their profits offshore.
How have corporate taxes changed over, you know, over time? Was there a time when they paid or were forced to pay more in taxes? Has that actual, as opposed to statutory, tax rate gone down over time? You know, and can you identify when and how that happened?
Yeah, so it's absolutely gone down over time. Before the Reagan era, it was significantly higher, I think around 50% or somewhere around there, if I remember right. So it's certainly been cut pretty significantly over time. It's been 35% for the past few decades, though.
But then, of course, they've been able to take advantage of these loopholes, the deferrals, and actually reduce that to even reduce that by even more. What about the individual tax rate? You know, it's sort of interesting. I think it would be an interesting comparison to think about how much individuals pay in their taxes versus how much corporations pay, and even maybe looking at the contribution to the treasury from corporations versus individuals. Can you sort of put that into context? Because corporations are treated as persons by the law in you know, for many approaches, and they're also sort of seen as good citizens because they do pay their taxes. How much do they pay compared to real living human beings?
As far as the government's tax revenues go, corporate taxes make up about 11% of the tax revenue. Yes, that's it. So it used to be significantly higher, but you know, ever since the 1980s, we start cutting the rates, and then the loopholes start to proliferate. And you've watched a significant erosion over the past, you know, three or four decades of the corporate tax base.
I mean, that's essentially corporations raiding the treasury, right?
I don't know if it's raiding, but they're certainly not paying in very much anymore.
Yeah. So what is it that the GOP has proposed and Donald Trump have proposed in their tax code rewrite that they want to push through? I mean, they're looking for some kind of a win at the congressional level, and the tax code is a really, really big one that they're aiming for next.
Yeah, so on the corporate side in particular, mm-hmm. what it appears that they started to push for after the end of their destination-based cash flow tax is what's called a territorial tax system. And what this does, in effect, is make the deferral loophole permanent. Instead of a corporation saying, hey, my profits are overseas, so I'm going to defer the taxes I owe on them, now the corporation just doesn't owe any U.S. taxes on their overseas profits.
So a permanent deferral, if you will. Deferred indefinitely.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Wow. So, you know, if this were to occur, you know, I'm sure that the multinational corporations will pay for the lawyers that'll get the job done as far as booking those profits offshore and keeping them there to avoid U.S. taxes.
So essentially what Republicans are saying is that they're encouraging offshoring of taxes. I mean, they may not come out and say that, right? I mean, do they ever come out and say, we think it's good for corporations to to hide their money offshore so they don't pay into the U.S. Treasury?
So they do sort of say that, you know, we think what they say is America needs to be more competitive and our corporate tax system makes us uncompetitive. But what that really means is multinational corporations will have higher profits under their system, but you know, there's no evidence that that's going to be trickling down to your average American.
How unimpressed have you been by the media coverage of this? Because I think, of course, if the majority of Americans knew what the GOP was trying to do, what Trump was trying to do, they would be outraged. Even those people who might veer right, but who, you know, see pretty clearly that corporations basically get away with everything they can, and their government is going to try to set in stone their, you know, this ongoing tax theft.
Yeah. I agree with you. The proposals we've seen from the administration and from the House Republicans are very clear that what they intend are tax cuts for the rich and more loopholes, or in the case of deferral, a permanent loophole for large multinational corporations. And their proposals, you know, they haven't changed too much. At one point, Donald Trump, you know, back in 2015, when he first put out a tax plan, he said he would close deferral, but as he took over the GOP nomination and when the administration put out their most recent plan, that's disappeared. There's no more closing deferral. It's now a territorial tax system that large multinationals will game to hide their profits.
So, Hunter, how important is it also for us to remind ourselves that Trump is a, you know, businessman who would personally benefit? I mean, wouldn't his own corporation benefit from the tax code that he and his party are proposing?
Yeah, so actually they would benefit from, in particular, he would benefit from a particular loophole that the GOP seems to be pulling from the failed Sam Brownback experiment in Kansas, which is this lower rate on what's called a pass-through corporation. But a pass-through corporation, it just, the business passes through the income to the owners. Trump has about something like 500 of these pass-through businesses. And so it's not the case that pass-throughs, most of the money made in pass-throughs are going to you know, rich hedge funds and things like that. So that particular loophole would certainly apply to him.
And how much money are we talking about, by the way, that corporations have used, that corporations have stored offshore using this deferral loophole? I mean, I think it would be interesting to just note how much they've saved and how much money they're keeping offshore.
Yeah, so it grows every year as they book more and more offshore. The most recent estimate puts it at about $2.6 trillion that they've booked offshore, which amounts to $700 billion or so in taxes that they've avoided paying so far.
Amazing. So how likely is it, you think, that the Republican Party will be able to push this tax code through? I'm not sure how much popularity there is among the Democratic Party. That party was pretty firm on staving off the Obamacare repeal. It's not clear if the Democrats have made a commitment to try to preserve the current statutory corporate rate, right?
Yeah, so as with the Affordable Care Act repeal, they're likely not going to need any Democratic votes, and they're pretty likely to push it through with budget reconciliation again, which means they're going to be able to pass it just on a party line vote. And I think, you know, we hear a lot from Republicans about how they're going to be engaged in tax reform that closes loopholes and broadens the base. But I think what we'll end up seeing is another Bush-era style tax cut for the wealthy, because that's a lot easier to push through on a party line vote.
Wow. And of course, what we really should be doing is closing those loopholes. That would be the actually constructive approach to tax rate reform, right?
Absolutely. If we were to engage in real tax reform that would help, you know, low and middle income Americans and their families, we would be closing corporate loopholes. We'd be clawing back the revenues that they've been dodging paying their taxes on. And that's not what I think we'll end up seeing from the House Republicans or Republicans more
right.
generally.
And if these loopholes were closed, all of a sudden we would have enough money for things like single-payer health care, fully funded, better federal assistance to schools, etc. That's just, that connection also is really important. Well, Hunter, give out a website for the Economic Policy Institute.
Absolutely. It's epi.org.
That's epi.org. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
My guest is Hunter Blair, budget analyst with the Economic Policy Institute. We've been discussing how corporations actually pay very low taxes in the U.S. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.